Hey, it's Brian. Coming up today on the show, Emily Jansen, general manager of the Reno Aces, AAA affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks. But before all that greatness, let's talk about the University of Dubuque and their Masters in Sports Management program. I was just at the NASM conference and got to meet one of the sports management professors at the University of Dubuque, Kevin Catani. Very impressive dude. Okay, but let's get to the program details. 30-credit hour program that can be completed in 1 year. They have face-to-face and online options. Love that flexibility. And they focus in on, amongst other things, leadership. This stood out to me, their emphasis on leadership, because as you know, I have a thing for leadership. But seriously, this is how you reach high in your career. Everyone you compete with for jobs will have skills, but not many are leaders. They're not trained in that. People with only skills may reach a director level role in their career. Those with skills and leadership skills become SVPs and CEOs. So if you want to reach high, get those leadership skills. The other great part about the University of Dubuque program, lots of opportunities to gain experience. Integrated field experience and professional development opportunities abound. This education can change your career ceiling. Check out dbq.edu/mmsm for more information. One more time, dbq.edu/mmsm for more information. Now, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. Finding the best guests is often about reading and staying up on what's happening. I personally scour trade magazines looking for people who are quoted in articles. I look at conferences and search through their speaker lists. I read feature articles to see who is out there changing the industry. I approach it this way for a few reasons. If they're speaking at a conference, that means they have a point of view and are comfortable sharing it. That's important on a podcast. If they're not comfortable talking, that's bad. If they're quoted in articles, again, they are a respected thought leader with a point of view. If they're featured in articles, well, that kind of speaks for itself. They're interesting and they have a story to share. This week's guest hits on all three. Emily Jansen is everywhere and it's really well deserved. As the highest ranking female in minor league baseball, she's garnered much national attention. But you know what I learned? She's way more than just a novelty title. As the GM of the Reno Aces, the AAA affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks, she is a smart, creative leader who is motivated to make positive changes in her organization. But here's the deal. Here's what really stood out to me after conducting this interview last year. She's a listener, and that's the first sign of a leader. Here's what I mean. She ascended to the GM role in May of 2018, which in baseball, that's mid-season. And instead of saying, "We're going to change how we operate and do things in my vision. I'm going to take over and make it mine." She spent the first season going forward with the previously established plans, listening and learning from her staff. That takes self-confidence. Most new managers in any role think they have to change things or else they aren't bringing value. This is misguided. Change for change's sake isn't inspiring to a team. Coming in guns blazing, trying to shake up the apple cart isn't leadership, it's often chaos. The best leaders enter with a calm confidence. They listen, they ask questions, they learn, they observe, and then, after that, they make changes when they are sure those changes fit this organization. Not all ideas work in all markets. You can't bring cookie-cutter ideas into a new location. I personally learned this the hard way. When I was at CNN, we had top-of-the-line equipment. We had established industry best practices. We ran like a machine most of the time. When I eventually left CNN and headed to Fox Sports, I had notebooks and notebooks of notes and ideas I wanted to implement immediately. You know what I did? I immediately sent the message to my new team that they'd been doing everything wrong. And I was some kind of savior to teach them the right way. What a terrible message to give. You know, coming in guns blazing, we're like, we're going to do it this way now. I'm telling them, they've been wrong this whole time. I'm going to save you. And that's terrible. That's not leadership. Plus, the market was totally different. The people were different. The technology was different. The staffing was different. I needed to shut up, observe, ask questions, and learn before I spoke. Too late now, but I should have. And I've learned, I've looked back, I self-analyzed, and I realized this was a mistake that I made. But when I was interviewing Emily, I thought to myself, wow, she really gets this. She did it the right way. And now she's operating the Reno Aces in her image. Here's more with the GM of the Reno Aces, Emily Jansen. Hi, Emily. How are you doing today?
Hey, great, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking time in season to talk through a little bit about your career with the Reno Aces and in sports in general. You've garnered a lot of press lately after being named GM of the Reno Aces back in May. You are the highest ranking female executive in minor league baseball. It's an honor and we should be celebrating it. But I also recognize that when I interview a male GM, we aren't like jumping up and down because a guy became a GM. When do you think we reach a point in the sports world where gender doesn't really matter? Is that even possible, or am I kind of naive in this subject?
Yeah. So great question. I realize that there's two sides to this answer. One, I was hired because of my qualifications and what I can bring to the business. But on the other side of the coin, I realize that there is a responsibility to women to first take this role, own this role, win at this role, and show all the girls out there that this is something that they can do. This can be a goal of theirs, and it's certainly achievable.
In minor league baseball, there are five other female general managers in, you know, single A, double A, triple A, et cetera. Well, you're the only one in triple A, but the bigger point is that there are none in the major professional sports leagues. What is it about minor league baseball that has made the opportunities a little bit more available or acceptable? Is there a different culture there?
Yeah, the role is really different. So in my role as GM for the Reno Aces, I don't deal with player transactions. So I'm not scouting and evaluating talent. I'm running the business. So what that would entail is overseeing marketing, working with corporate partnerships, working with the team store and overseeing that budget, serving on the executive team for the building. So it's really a business-focused role for the baseball club, whereas being a GM for MLB deals a lot more with building the team on the field. So the role doesn't really translate specifically, but I think we use the name as part of tradition in naming a leader in the organization. I do hope that we see a female in Major League Baseball soon. I've got my eye on one woman in particular, Kim Nee.
Yeah.
She's interviewed several times. I have an inkling she'll probably be the first one. She's got a really impressive resume, and I'm certainly cheering for her and all the other women out there who are working as assistant GMs in Major League Baseball.
I think it's really great that you're hammering on the fact that this is a job focused on the business side of sports, which is so important. And I don't think enough people realize that if they want to work in sports, it generally tends to be these business related roles, marketing and sales and operations and running the organization. Let's talk about you specifically. How did you get to this point? Did you have a moment in your college career or even earlier where this became your goal and your focus? Or did it kind of come about organically as you went through your you know, step by step of your career?
My career has been sort of pretty diverse for the first, 13 years post-college, but I really believe that my set of experiences has really lent me to be very prepared for this role in the fact that I've worked on the client side, I've worked event side, I've worked on the nonprofit side, I've worked on the development side, and it's made me really a well-rounded candidate to fit this role.
Let's go back to your early part of your career where you were breaking in the sales world. You know, we've talked a lot on this podcast about how so many of the jobs in sports revolve around sales. And yet it appears to me from talking with executives all over the country that colleges nowadays don't really do a great job preparing students, whether they're in sports management programs or otherwise, for the ins and outs of sales careers. How do we fix this disconnect? And do you agree that now that you've been through it as an early employee working in sports, and then as someone now who's in charge of hiring and running the business, do you feel like there is a dearth of people graduating college who have experience in sales and can take that experience to the next level?
I don't. I think that that sales today is really learned in your first sales job.
Okay.
I do see colleges bringing in professionals to lecture or speak or teach to their classes, and I'd encourage much more of that.
Yeah.
I experience within our business a little bit of shock from our new sales reps. You want me to make how many calls?
Right.
How long does this process take? There's a lot to it, obviously, in being part of a sales team. You've got to have patience. You have to have grit. You do have to have a competitive drive, or it can be really difficult at times. You've got to be able to deal with the no, that rejection can wear on you. And that's something that you'll learn over time. But I do think that that colleges everyone can always do a better job of being more prepared. So I'd love to see those programs continue to grow. I don't believe that to work in sports, everyone has to have a sports management degree. I graduated from the College of Communications. You see a lot of business majors. I think that's excellent. But I think just overall, universities need to expand their sales curriculum, or at least give people within the market the opportunity to come in and talk to your students and tell them about what it's like, and start to give them that sales training. Because no matter what you're doing, if you're selling season or group tickets, or even if you're on the marketing side, when you're in the marketing department, that department serves as a function to sell the business. So having the foundation or the principles of sales in your toolkit is really important.
So in your estimation, how much do you look back at that early part of your career where you were making the calls and learning the business and making those sales and facing rejection and all those parts of a early sales career? How much of an influence has that had on your career now as a GM running the entire operation and the entire business side of the Reno Aces? Was that time a real deep foundation for you?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. I mean, I honestly think about it. Probably wouldn't be a stretch to say almost every day. I'm constantly selling our business, whether I'm working with our corporate partners or I'm just out in the community, meeting new folks or talking about the business. I'm selling. So that foundation in sales is truly the foundation of my career, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And I hope that, it doesn't always have to be the path for everyone, but I love to see a candidate come through for an opportunity with my club that has sales experience or started as a ticket sales intern or has worked in the box office. Ticket sales is the lifeblood of any organization, and so having that understanding, no matter what role you're in, I think is very important.
Yeah, I feel like a broken record saying this, but I tell people all the time, there's no fancy free agents, there's no high-level coach, there's no great arena and facilities and fan experience events if they're not selling tickets and they're not selling merchandise and they're not putting butts in the seats. So those jobs,
exactly.
those sales jobs are so instrumental in the sports industry. Let's talk about competitiveness. How important is it to be naturally competitive to find success in sports careers and jobs? Because to me, we always think of sports as this competitive market, right? The people playing on the TV or wherever we are, they are the extreme competitors. And yet the industry is also very competitive. And then fighting for sales dollars or fighting for promotion eyes or getting your voice heard on social media, you have to have some of that competitiveness, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this question is extremely biased for me because I'm very competitive. So of course I believe that competitiveness is key to your success. So I absolutely think you need to be competitive because, how is a sales goal important to you if you don't have a competitive drive? How is earning a promotion important to you if you don't have a competitive drive? So I think that is a huge part of success in any career. If you want to push yourself to the top. Absolutely. You've got to be competitive. And then the second thing that I talked a lot with my staff about is having an intense curiosity. You need to be curious about the business, your business, about learning. So let's never stop learning. Just because we were handed that diploma at graduation doesn't mean that you've learned everything there is to learn out there. In fact, I have essentially a library in my office of books about sales, about marketing, about motivation. Those are things that are really important to me to maintain that curiosity. And then additionally, maintain that curiosity about your fans and about the businesses in your community to build your corporate partnerships. So whether we want to believe it or not, it's not all about us, and it's not all about the organization for which we work. People don't want to be shouted at about how great you are. They want you to take an interest in them. So competitiveness and curiosity are definitely two of my keywords that I operate on every day.
What about you personally? I know you're talking about your staff. You want them to be curious. What about you personally? As you've progressed in your career, you've been doing this for a while. You're in a new role now. Do you still find yourself curious and hungry and thirsty for information and new ways of doing things?
Oh, 100%. I've got, I'm looking at my shelf in here right now. I've got a book, Emotional Intelligence 2.0, Slow Down, Sell Faster, The Challenger Sale, A Framework for Marketing Management. Those are just four of the books that are sitting on my desk, and I try to take, it sounds minute, but I try to carve out 15 minutes a day to dive into either one of those books or to read Sports Business Journal or Mashable if I'm thinking about what's going on in our marketing department. But to continue to research and read and learn more. There is not a person on this planet that knows everything. And I think as soon as you believe that you do, you're going to start losing because the business and the world is moving so fast. You have to continue to stay curious, stay interested, and continue to learn.
As you've progressed in your career, you've taken on jobs and roles with more and more responsibility, budget, staffing, expectations, etc. To thrive in these roles, you have to be a leader. Whether you give yourself that as a skill set or you even think of it that way, it's just a fact. I mean, you have to be. So what is your approach, your personal approach to leadership? How do you motivate a staff? How do you lead? How would you describe yourself as a boss? How would you characterize yourself?
Sure. So I like to lead by example. So you're going to see me in here working hard, making sales calls, participating in the business, not just overseeing. Second, I take an interest in my staff and everyone who works for me. Again, that's the word curiosity. I want to be curious about these people. What are their goals? Where do they want to end up? They may not want to retire from the Reno Aces. So what is it that is their dream job? And if they work hard for me, how can I help them get there? I also manage to the individual. We're not all made exactly the same. And I think you have to take that into consideration when you are in a management role with an organization. Some people, need to be pushed really, really hard to achieve their success. And they thrive off of that. Others need a little bit more encouragement and support and recognition of a job well done to get to that next step. And I think that as a leader, you need to identify what exactly it is that your individual people need, because that's exactly what they are, is individuals. And if you can do that and make the time for them, it's worth the investment.
This is your first year as GM of the team. You were hired in May for a season that starts in April, so you had to really hit the ground running. Take us through how you prioritize your day-to-day. It sounds like, as you mentioned earlier, you're in charge of so much related to the business. How do you prioritize what's most important on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to lie, Brian, it's very difficult. I've got a lot of areas of the business and also a lot of people. And I've got this thing on my desk, either you run the day or the day runs you. And I read it every morning. And I'm only 3.5 months in, and I think to myself, today is going to be the day that I'm running my day. And it's been difficult in season because I'm in a role right now where I'm an observer of everything that was planned for this last year coming into action. But I also need to, with respect to all the teams and all the hard work they've put in to get us this far, I need to also be able to take action. So if I see something where we need to pivot, I need to be able to identify that and do that in a way with respect to the work that was put in. So my role so far has been, for my taste, a little bit too reactionary, but I'm trying to cut myself a little bit of slack that I've only been in this role for 3.5 months. But my goal is to work on an 80-20 rule where 80% of my day, any given day, is planned and owned by me, and I'll leave 20% in for reaction to people and to circumstances that may occur as a surprise in the course of business that day. Right now, I've probably dug and clawed my way to about a 50-50 split right now, but I'll continue to work towards that in the off season as we really dig into to planning and sales and development of the 2019 season.
That makes perfect sense. It sounds like you're doing a pretty good job boiling the ocean. I'm sure you have a ton of things that are falling on your plate every day. So we'll finish up with this. What advice, in a general sense or a specific sense, would you give to anyone, but in particular women, who have a dream of being a general manager?
Yeah, so I'm really big on quotes, and one of my favorites, and the reason why I'm sitting in this chair, is one that it says, "Be so good they can't ignore you." And I think about that, and I stand by that every day. To be good enough at my job, to put in enough hard work, and to be memorable, that I can't be ignored or forgotten. It's why I'm sitting in this chair today. I've made some great relationships. Networking is something that I strongly believe in. And not networking in a one-sided way where you're asking, what can you do to help me, but how can we help each other? So I've connected, a lot of my friends or contacts to new opportunities and vice versa. I think you have to give in order to receive. But I'm really here today because I did great work my last time I was with the Reno Aces, and when this chair was opened, I was top of mind to be the one to occupy it. I also think if you're ever leaving an organization, leave with even more hard work put in than when you arrived. And what I mean by that is, when you put in your 2 weeks notice, that's not your 1 month notice or 6 weeks, whatever it is that you do, don't let that be your stopping point. When I left the Aces to move to Houston, Texas, I literally turned in a new partnership contract as I was closing down my computer for the last time. I just fought to the last minute to get my team and myself to budget so that I could feel okay leaving and pursuing my next endeavor. So my key takeaways for women and for anybody else is be so good they can't ignore you, and there's definitely no traffic jams along the extra mile. So keep pushing, keep networking, keep connecting, and continue to help those around you and lift them up. Rising tides lift all ships.
I like that last one a lot. Yeah, there's no traffic jams on the extra mile. That's a good one. I haven't heard that one before. Yeah. Those are good sayings. Well, thank you so much, Emily. Thank you so much, Emily. It's been great to learn a little bit more about you and your career and how you got to this point. Massive congratulations and respect to you on that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. There's still a lot left in my career, a lot more work to do. So I'm happy to be in this role right now, and really excited to continue to work with this team, and also be in a position, because I'm a woman, where I can have a chance to mentor and talk to other women about achieving their dreams.
Well, you are truly an inspiration. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thanks to Emily Jansen. What an inspiration to women everywhere. And there's so much to learn from her for us dudes, too. I know I picked up many great ideas and concepts during that conversation. I'm sure you did, too. As of today, looking at the standings, the Reno Aces are unfortunately in last place. But in minor league baseball, a GM is less connected to player evaluation, wins and losses, and way more connected to running the business and operation. That's an important distinction to make. If you want to be a GM in professional sports, player evaluation, scouting, player personnel, all those are important ways to get there. If you want to be a GM in minor league sports or minor league baseball in particular, it's the operation, it's the business, it's the sales, it's the marketing. Two totally different worlds, same title. So Emily's success is tied to different metrics. Best of luck to her and the Aces. Thanks for listening to this episode, and make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Give us a great review wherever you listen, and connect with me on LinkedIn or join our private Facebook group by searching for the Work in Sports podcast. You can send me guest recommendations. You can ask questions. You can talk to all of our other special guests that are, a lot of them are in the group. We're all ears. For now, though, thanks for listening, and it's time to get back to work.